Unfiltered.
I'm not sold. I'm sorry.
Unapologetic.
I'm not trying to talk about him.
Unlike anyone else.
But knowing y'all,
y'all will probably make me.
This is the Stephen A. Smith Show.
What's going on, everybody? Welcome to the New Year edition of the Stephen A. Smith Show, coming at you for the first time in the year 2026, courtesy of SiriusXM, Mad Dog Sports Radio. Number to call up, as always, is 888-MAD-DOG-6. That's 888-623-3646, of course. For those of you out there who want to send in your voicemail messages because you don't want to stand on the line and wait for me, you can always go to SiriusXM.com/GetSerious to send in your voicemail message. Once again, that's SiriusXM.com/GetSerious. It is an honor and a privilege to be with you in this new year. As you know, I've been off the last 2 weeks. I had major dental surgery on the right side of my mouth in October. This time I had it on the left side of my mouth. So I'm feeling, not 100% and all of that stuff. Still healing from that stuff, but I feel good. I feel good, getting healthier. Life is good, the whole bit. I hope y'all had a wonderful, happy holiday season, that God has blessed all of you. Obviously, coming into the new year, 2026, I hope your new year resolutions will work out for you. Wishing you nothing but the best. I hope one of those New Year's resolutions is to be with your boy, Stephen A., every weekday from 1 to 3 p.m. Eastern Standard Time over the airways of SiriusXM, Mad Dog Sports Radio, which also airs from 6 to 8 p.m. right here on Mad Dog Sports Radio. But I just can't tell y'all how happy I am to be back. I missed y'all so much, and it's really, really good to be back talking with y'all right now. What a game last night. I'm a Steelers fan. But I'm a realistic Steelers fan. I'm not one of those nauseating, disgusting Cowboy fans who walk around every day, no matter how much you're going to lose, how pathetic you may be, how you can't get your stuff right. No, we're going to win the Super Bowl this year, right? No, we're going to win the Super Bowl next year, right? I'm not one of those. I still have some trepidation about the Pittsburgh Steelers. I don't know whether they're going to beat the Houston Texans in the wild card playoff game this weekend. Matter of fact, I think it's a very, very daunting task going up against that defense, considering the stationary target that Aaron Rodgers is because of his legs. But last night, it didn't matter what his legs looked like. It was what that damn arm looked like. 31 of 47, 294 yards, a season high in passing yards for Aaron Rodgers. A touchdown, no interceptions, okay? Sacked twice, don't matter. The Pittsburgh Steelers answered the call. Touchdown pass from Aaron Rodgers to Calvin Austin. Zip passes down the field to Adam Thielen. And, of course, Freiermuth as well. Pittsburgh's offense, without the services of the two-game suspended DK Metcalf, still showed up when it counted most, was able to put some points on the board, 26 points on the board to be exact. Extra point missed by Boswell. You're in a situation where you're the Baltimore Ravens. You're coming down the field, and you position yourself. An incredible catch by Isaiah Likely. The bottom line is you had an opportunity to win this game, and it didn't end up well for you. It's just that simple. It really, really did it. And when you look at it from that standpoint, I just got to say my heart goes out to Lamar Jackson, who simply cannot catch a break. He cannot catch a break. In the end, from a legacy standpoint, a lot of people going to look at him and going to say, another missed opportunity. Another time, Patrick Mahomes is home for the year, courtesy of his injury and what have you, his injury. Josh Allen's in the playoffs. Where's Lamar Jackson? You see what happens. This ain't on Lamar Jackson. 3 years ago is Zay Flowers fumbling at the goal line. Last year's Mark Andrews can't catch a two-point conversion. This time around, it's Loop, the field goal kicker, missing a chip shot to win the game. It's right there for you. It's a chip shot. You're in position. It's nothing. It's a 44-yard field goal. It's what you should do for breakfast. And somehow, some way, this is the time you pick to miss your first field goal of the year, pretty much. I mean, just a horrible, horrible situation for the Baltimore Ravens, but it benefited the Pittsburgh Steelers immensely. Defense showed up. On a couple of occasions when it counted, I was incredibly disappointed and disgusted at how wide open, not once, but twice, Zay Flowers was when you fake pitching the ball to Derrick Henry and then you throw it down to the left side of the field and there was no Steeler in the vicinity. After Mike Tomlin, who I love, pumping his chest, egging the defense on and stuff like that, after Pittsburgh scored a touchdown, you nearly blew the damn game, not just once, but twice. But somehow, some way, you got let off the hook because Luke couldn't make a damn field goal. This is what happened. This is what happened to the Pittsburgh Steelers last night that ended up leaving them victorious, AFC North champions, and obviously going to the playoffs. So props to the Pittsburgh Steelers for somehow, some way, even without the services of DK Metcalf, and staying in the thick of things, handling their business, and positioning themselves to make a playoff run. But we cannot sit here as we're talking about the Pittsburgh Steelers and ignore the obvious. This is from a Steelers fan, which I have been all my life, pretty much. Since I was 5 years old, I've been a Steelers fan. Since the immaculate reception by Franco Harris, I've been a Steelers fan. The black and gold, that's the color for me when it comes to football. With all of that being said, and as much as I love me some Mike Tomlin, because I do, they haven't won a playoff game since 2016. They haven't won a playoff game since 2016. And on top of it all, not only have they not won a playoff game since 2016, they've been outscored 73-0 in the first quarter. Not only have they been outscored 73-0 in the first quarter, each and every single game, they have been down by at least 21 points. So, again, when I see Aaron Rodgers do what he does, it was beautiful. To me, the moment to peel from it is those passes to Thielen and the Freiermuth. That's what you got to hang your hat on, because we ain't seen a Steeler quarterback throw a football like that in years. Not since Big Ben Roethlisberger has retired. We haven't seen that in years. Okay? So we got to take that into consideration. And I'm down for that. But outside of that, and of course, Jaylen Warren running the football effectively, Cat stepping up, Steelers defense did not leave me in awe. Didn't do it. Not by a long shot. And on top of it all, I found myself saying, even as a Steelers fan, who would be a bigger threat in the playoffs? I watched Derrick Henry running that football in the first half, had over 100 yards rushing in the first half, only ran the ball 20 times. I'm looking at Todd Monken. If he doesn't lose his job as offensive coordinator, I'd be surprised. Zach Gore, your defensive coordinator in Baltimore, I mean, I'm looking at him and I'm saying, hey, what you going to do? Because your defense was trash. You were 30th against the pass, 24th in yards allowed this year. I'm wondering what's going to happen with you. We talking about John Harbaugh, because it is Black Monday. This is the day coaches get fired in the National Football League. There's like five damn openings already, this, and I'll get into that in a second. Who deserved it, who didn't? But in the end, what it comes down to is that at some point in time, we got to have a discussion about John Harbaugh, which is right now, and of course about Mike Tomlin if they end up not winning the playoff game next week. And that'll be 0-7 since 2016. As excited as we want to be about the Pittsburgh Steelers, as excited as Aaron Rodgers should be, as excited as Steeler Nation should be, being able to pull this off without DK Metcalf services. The bottom line is the Steelers collectively as a team, 1 minute it's porous offense, another minute it's porous defense. They've given you nothing to believe that they're going to win a playoff game, let alone make a deep run in the postseason. I hope I'm wrong. I really, really do. But we don't know. We see the seedings right there. In the AFC, or rather, I'll start with the NFC. Seattle's your number one seed. The Rams are going up against the Panthers. Green Bay's going up against Chicago. San Francisco is going up against Philadelphia. I'm getting ready to get into Philadelphia in a second, and they'll discuss whether or not they made the wise decision by resting most of their starters. In the AFC, the Denver Broncos are the number one seed. I think that's a big deal because of the altitude in Denver, just as much as anything else. I'm worried about that altitude in Denver. But then I'm looking at the Buffalo Bills against the Jacksonville Jaguars. That's an interesting matchup. The Chargers versus the New England Patriots. And the Texans against the Pittsburgh Steelers. Things are getting very interesting. Things are getting very interesting. It's undeniable. There's no way to look at it. But I got to tell you something right now. I was proud of my Steelers last night. At least I was proud of them offensively. Defensively, I'm not going to go that far. But offensively, I was proud of them. And I give credit where credit is due. Baltimore, here's the question. What do you do with Coach Harbaugh? What do you do with him? It's Black Monday. Pete Carroll's already been fired. Kevin Stefanski for Cleveland's already been fired. Raheem Morris and GM Terry Fontenot for Atlanta, they've been fired. Okay? I don't know why Aaron Glenn still has his job. I hate to say that. I'm a Black man who unapologetically roots for Black coaches because, you know what, it ain't too many of them. Even though times have changed and things have gotten better. I was rooting for Aaron Glenn, but it has been an awful job in New York with the Jets. Okay? Brian Daboll got fired from the Giants weeks ago. They're keeping GM Joe Shane. But how attractive is that Giants job? Again, I brought up how Pete Carroll has been fired. Tom Brady and the GM is going to pick the next coach. I've been on the record saying this morning. Ladies and gentlemen, I don't give a damn. What's the GM? Spy Tech? What's his name? Spy Jack? Spy Tech? Whatever the hell it is. It doesn't matter to me. It matters to me any pick other than the number one overall pick, which the Raiders have. That number one overall pick is going to be a quarterback. There's one man that should make that pick. One man. And that is the minority owner for the Las Vegas Raiders, whose name is Tom Brady, the seven-time Super Bowl champion. Quarterback. A savant in the world of football. An outstanding analyst on television, by the way. There is nobody other than Tom Brady, who should make this call? I don't want to hear from the owner. I don't want to hear from the GM. I don't want to hear from the coaches. I don't want to hear from anybody. One man. One. One. It's Tom Brady. He should be the one interviewing the quarterbacks. He should be the one on the field evaluating them. He's the one that should talk to their mamas, their daddies, their aunts, their cousins, their girlfriends, wives. I don't give a damn what it is. Whatever evaluation you got to go through, Tom Brady got to make that call. That's why you the part owner. That's why you a minority owner. What the hell you there for if you ain't making this pick? There is nobody else that should make this pick. Nobody. Hell, not even Jim Gray, who I love. And that's his guy with the podcast. Let's go. Not even Jim Gray. Nobody. Tom Brady. The one man that has to make this pick. And he don't have to make any other pick. Let your GM, your new coach, and everybody else, whoever that's going to be, and I'm hearing it could be Brian Flores as a head coach, and it could be Brian Daboll as your offensive coordinator, which I like because Tom Brady has great relationships with both of them. I get all of that. I understand it. I'm just saying, when it comes to picking the quarterback, all of these people should move the hell out of Tom Brady's way. They shouldn't even speak unless Tom Brady asks for their opinion. He's the only one that should make this decision in Vegas. I feel bad for Raheem Morris in Atlanta, but it's an understandable situation why they had to make the call. If you're Arthur Blank, the owner for the Atlanta Falcons, Raheem Morris is 16-18 in two seasons. Didn't work out with Kirk Cousins, didn't work out with the fragile Michael Penix Jr. 6-18 in two seasons. I don't care that he ended the season with a winning streak. The fact of the matter is, with Bijan Robinson, maybe the best one of the best players in the NFL. The brother's spectacular. With him, with Drake London, with Kyle Pitts, you got a three-headed monster right there that's relatively young and whatever. You need some experience. You need people that are making the right decision to produce so you can win. So that's the situation right there. You got to find a situation. I'm going to say this as crazy as it sounds. And I root for Raheem Morris, and I hope that he ultimately gets something. I will say this to you. I am of the mindset that Bill Belichick should have had that job. He had never had to go to college. They didn't want to give Bill Belichick the job because they didn't want him making the decisions. They knew they would have to listen to him because the man has forgotten more football than most of them know. But I'm of the mindset that when it comes to experience, leadership, et cetera, et cetera. How you going to knock a six-time champion as a head coach, an eight-time champion overall on the NFL level? That's Bill Belichick. And I think the Atlanta Falcons made a mistake not hiring him in the first place. Cleveland's a different matter. Kevin Stefanski. I like Kevin Stefanski. I know his dad. Longtime NBA executive. Ed Stefanski is a good man. I got a lot of love for him. Let me say this. When I really, really think about Kevin Stefanski, here's my issue with Kevin Stefanski. Like 11 different quarterbacks. 11 to 13 different quarterbacks in his 6 years there. Baker Mayfield didn't work out. Deshaun Watson didn't work out. Kobe Brissett didn't work out. You just look at a lot of these, the man, I know a lot of people are looking at him and saying, hey, the Giants would be lucky to have him because they got Jackson Dart, and the Giants don't need a quarterback. You might, because Jackson Dart has been in concussion protocol 5 times his rookie year. So why shouldn't he be? Why shouldn't they go out there and get another quarterback? How can you trust that that's not going to be the situation? How can you trust that? How can you trust that you're not going to need another quarterback? You're the New York Giants, by the way. You can't even lose, right? The hell you doing winning the last 2 games against the Raiders and the Cowboys? Why? Where's that going to get you? You were battling for the number one overall pick. You now drop down to 5. Now, I know you're thinking you might not need a quarterback, but you certainly could use, listen, the higher the pick, the more control you have in the draft. The more you can wheel and deal and position yourself to make moves. Why the hell would you win the last 2 games? Makes no sense. Makes no sense for the Giants to do that. But that's what they did. So there you have it. 888-MAD-DOG-6 is the number to call up. It's 888-623-3646. Black Monday, 6 NFL head coaching vacancies. Remember, Brian Callahan in Tennessee was fired during the season. Brian Daboll was fired during the season. And in the last few hours, Raheem Morris in Atlanta, Kevin Stefanski in Cleveland, Pete Carroll of Las Vegas, and Jonathan Gannon in Arizona, all relieved of their duties. So we've got openings in Tennessee, New York, Atlanta, Cleveland, Las Vegas, and Arizona. How y'all feel about that? What y'all think about that? Any coaches that stand out in your mind that should be taking over certain spots? Me personally, I wish Dak Taylor had been gone. And I'm usually not advocating for folks to be fired, but this man don't even want to work. They even want, what are you doing in the offseason? They're never prepared to play in September. And this man can't seem to know what he's doing without Joe Burrow. Would have been wise to move on from Zach Taylor, in my opinion. I agree with my man, R.C. Ryan Clark. He said move on from Zach Taylor and go with Joe Brady, the offensive coordinator. And Buffalo's protected Josh Allen. Might have been wise. We got a lot of stuff to get into. The great Adam Schefter is coming on in a little while to break it all down for us. My colleague at ESPN, the ultimate NFL insider, doesn't get any better than him. But he's about to be up here in a few minutes live right here on the Stephen A. Smith Show, Sirius XM, Mad Dog Sports Radio. 888-MAD-DOG-6 is always the number to call up. It's 888-623-3646. Your calls, your voicemails, and more coming up before Adam Schefter comes on the line. So stick around. It's the Stephen A. Smith Show back in action to start off 2026 right here on Sirius XM, Mad Dog Sports Radio. Holler at you in a minute.